Today in an editorial, the New York Times joined voices calling on Mitt Romney to release more of his tax returns and information about his financial holdings. They say Romney is tarnishing an important political tradition, one practiced by his own father, George Romney, who released 12 years of tax returns in 1967 during his presidential run. Recent reporting by the AP and Vanity Fair have drawn attention to a Bermuda account that Romney transferred to his wife's blind trust the day before he was inaugurated as Massachusetts governor in 2003. And there are still lingering questions about monies he receives from Bain Capital, the private equity firm he founded. Well, joining us is the Times political reporter Michael Scheer. Michael, you know, so far Mitt Romney has made public only his 2010 taxes and an unfinished estimate for 2011. But let's just cut right to the chase. You know, there's this sense of a smell test, a whiff of a notion that Mitt Romney has stashed money offshore in Swiss bank accounts so that it isn't taxable. Is that proven?
It's not proven, I think. I mean, you know, the Romney campaign has said flatly that he paid all of the taxes. He did everything legally he was required to do. And in fact, they've gone further and said that he paid no fewer taxes than he would have if the money was in accounts here in the state. I think that's the question that has drawn a lot of skepticism. In fact, the Obama campaign is out with a web video showing a clip of Republican Senator Chuck Grassley at a hearing at some point on Capitol Hill, saying that the only reason that he knows that anybody would have a Cayman Islands account would be to pay fewer taxes. And so that's the kind of nut of the argument that the Obama campaign is making, which is, look, explain why you have these accounts, and if you don't explain, then we're going to just keep assuming that there's something nefarious going
on. Well, to be clear, our understanding was that a 2010 return showed a blind trust held by Mitt Romney's wife, Anne, that included a $3 million Swiss bank account that hadn't been reported on previous disclosure statements.
Right, and that's another one of the questions that has dogged the Romney campaign, is the fact that some of these things have appeared in some places and not others. You know, candidates, people who are running for office, have a variety of different disclosure requirements. There's not only the federal government in your tax returns, but there's also state disclosure forms, there's federal disclosure forms, and some of these have appeared on some and not others, and so that's raised new questions as well. And as you alluded to at the top, there are these questions of the money that still flows to Mr. Romney from the Bain Capital partnership that he had for something like 15 years. Even though he's been gone from that firm for a long time, he still receives kind of residual payments and profit sharing and that kind of thing. And a lot of that money, according to some of these reports, has flowed over the years into these accounts that are offshore, which, again, raises the question of, you know, what tax treatment did that money get, and was that different than what it might have gotten had he not had those accounts?
Well, and now Mitt Romney is also being accused of flip-flopping on trusts. We mentioned the trusts in his wife's name. During his 1994 Senate race against the late Senator Ted Kennedy, Romney attacked Kennedy's trust holdings. Here's some of what he said.
The blind trust is an age-old ruse, if you will, which is to say you can always tell the blind trust what it can and cannot do. You give a blind trust rules.
As opposed to today, where Governor Romney is saying, I don't know anything about a blind trust. It's blind. So what do you make of this?
There have been lots of folks that have said, look, you know, exactly like Mitt Romney said back then, he could have told his advisors, the people that are running that trust, I'm not going to tell you specifically what to do, but I want you to make sure that I don't have any offshore accounts. I don't want to invest in things that are held in, you know, well-known tax havens. I mean, you can sort of make those broad pronouncements, and then your folks are supposed to follow those.
Well, Michael Scheer, just one last question and a very brief answer if you can. You say this attack on Romney might backfire. How so?
Well, two quick things. One is that there's polling out there that suggests that a lot of people don't think that somebody's personal wealth is a real concern, you know, when it comes to how they vote for president. And, you know, if the American public thinks that President Obama is attacking rich people and attacking the idea of wealth and being successful, that's not a good place for them to be, and I think they know it.
Michael Scheer of the New York Times, thanks so much.
Sure.
Well, during this election year, we're going to listen in on the campaign trail, starting today with Mitt Romney's address to the NAACP convention in Houston. Tough crowd. Governor Romney told the African-American audience that as president, he'd support strong families and defend traditional marriage. He'd offer wider school choice to public school students, including more charter schools. He talked about the economy as well and laid out a five-part job recovery plan. But the third part didn't go over very well.
I hope everyone understands that high levels of debt slow down the rate of growth of the GDP, of the economy. And that means fewer jobs are created. If our goal is jobs, we have to stop spending over $1 trillion more than we take in every year. And so to do that, I'm going to eliminate every non-essential, expensive program I can find. That includes Obamacare. And I'm going to work to reform and save.
Well, then Governor Romney turned his attention to what he says has happened to the business community in recent years, reiterating his plan to create jobs. Let's listen.
I'll restore economic freedom. This nation's economy runs on freedom, on opportunity, on entrepreneurs, on dreamers who innovate and build businesses. These entrepreneurs are being crushed by high taxation, unnecessary burdens and regulation, hostile regulators, excessive health care costs, and destructive labor policies. I will go to work to make America the best place in the world for innovators, for entrepreneurs, and for businesses large and small. Do these five things: open up energy, expand trade, cut the growth of government, focus on better educating tomorrow's workers today, and restore economic freedom, and jobs will come back to America, and wages will rise again. We have got to do it. And I know the president will say he's going to do those things, but he has not, he will not, he cannot. And his last 4 years in the White House prove it definitively. If I'm president, job one for me will be creating jobs. Let me say that again. My agenda is not to put in place a series of policies that get me a lot of attention and applause. My policy will be, number one, create jobs for the American people. I do not have a hidden agenda. And I submit to you this: if you want a president who will make things better in the African-American community, you are looking at him. You take a look.
Tough job addressing an African-American audience when you're running against the first African-American president. Mitt Romney said, take a look, and if he's elected, he'll be back to address them next year. By the way, go to hearnow.org to hear a story about Mitt Romney's diversity record while governor of Massachusetts. And tomorrow, the NAACP will hear from Vice President Joe Biden. And we are going to take a break. Be back in a minute with Anna Gunn of AMC's Breaking Bad. Here and Now.